Welcome to The Mountain Gardener with your host, Ken Lane. Gardening can be challenging, but with Ken's tips, tricks, and local advice, you'll reap huge rewards. Now welcome your host, Ken Lane.
And welcome to this week's edition of The Mountain Gardener. This is your host, Ken Lane. We're here every week talking about the landscapes of Northern Arizona, and we are absolutely in the thick of it. Every day, you can watch plants erupt with new foliage or flowers. This is what spring is all about. The deserts have been spectacular for a couple weeks. California, the butterflies and the wildflowers are just, it's a super bloom. Arizona is right behind California, so the deserts are there. And then it kind of moves north, and so the hills are becoming alive with the orange colors are going to be more like California poppies. The blues are going to be lupin, and every verbenas, there's all kinds of penstemons are coming, mallows, they're all starting to show up. And that's the beauty of having so much moisture, specifically snow kind of moisture in the mountains. We get this over the top. I mean, it'll be what California is times more. I mean, just sprinkle fairy dust on that and it'll be even more spectacular because it's a higher altitude. The bloom will last longer for us. And so it is okay. Flowers, certain flowers love spring. They need the cool nights and the warm days, the bright days. And that's things like California poppies, pansies, lupins, verbenas. I would say autumn sage, they're starting to really erupt with new growth. Certain plants love the spring. And so it is spring this week. It just started to be spring. Watch, be careful. For those of you especially new to Arizona, the non-gardeners will actually tell you, oh, you need to wait. Wait till Mother's Day. Oh my gosh, you can't do anything until Mother's Day. Don't listen to them. Those are non-gardeners. Those are folks that only plant a tomato or a pepper plant, or they only do geraniums. They don't know how to enjoy the spring garden season. There's a whole series of plants that are, for the next 3 months, are over the top. And you're seeing the mountains come alive like that. And so you're seeing those plants you see blooming, you could plant now. And they'll bloom every year from this point forward. Every year it will be like this. They'll bloom oranges of California poppies, the verbenas, the lupins, the penstemons, the mallows. Those are all perennial flowers. There's also a whole nother series of annual flowers and then annual vegetables. There's a whole series of vegetables that love this time of year. They prefer to show up and thrive when it's cool out. They don't like summer. Mother's Day is kind of the demarcation for summer planting. So that's only when you put things that love heat. I mean, just hot weather. That's when the snakes are out. The lizards are roaming around. They're laying out on top of the rocks going, warm my body up. I just want to be warm. Eggplant is like that. You've got zinnias are like that. Your spring blooming crepe myrtles and Rose of Sharon's, they love the heat. But your lilacs, they don't like heat. They like spring. Forsythia, they like spring. There's a whole series of spring blooming trees that are about to erupt. They're already starting at the lower elevations. And throughout all elevations, they're starting to really, the bud swell is ginormous. So your fruiting plums, your fruiting nectarines, fruiting apricots, they're all starting to crack bud or show color and starting to bloom. Right after that will be apples and pears and cherries and peaches, and there's a whole series of things you can plant. Also, they make a series of ornamental fruit trees, ornamental flowering pear is usually how they'll say it. That's like aristocrat pear or capital pear or Bradford pear. These are related to the fruiting pears, but they never produce fruit. They bloom early enough, and they just don't pollinate with other things, and they're there for the show. The flowers of all fruit trees are stunning, but some of them will, after they're done flowering, they'll produce a fruit, like an apple or pear. Some just have the flower, but they don't ever produce, they don't pollinate, and form a fruit. And so you get this pretty spring color. You get the great shade of summer, and then you get this great fall color. Some of the best fall colors are from your ornamental type of fruiting, ornamental fruit trees. Crab apples are famous for their spring color. They're the tree. They don't actually form crab apples like your parents used to grow or grandparents. They used to make crab apple jellies and jams. And well, that's not desirable anymore. That's fallen out of favor. And so now we've got crab apples. They can form a tiny fruit that's quite ornamental, very pretty, bright reds, purples. The flowers are purple and red and pinks and the purest of whites. These are all going to erupt in the next, it's spring. They're going to erupt this spring and just be glorious. Here's the insider tip on those. You really do want to put those in the ground. I've had several customers coming into the garden center. This last week was spring open house. Lots of customers. We set all kinds of records, record customer count, record sales, record. Every record was broken this weekend. I think it's partly because there was pent-up demand. The snow from earlier in March kind of pushed it all into here. We'll see. I'd love to have records for the year. Records all year was that way, but I'm also realistic. I know that there's this pent up. Gardeners really are looking to get out in the garden, and I know that's there. I just happened to luckily time our open house. We had our growers in, new introductions, new flowers were introduced, new pots, the new colors were introduced all this weekend. So it created this excitement. I lucked out. It could have been a blizzard condition. I don't know. It was snowing on Wednesday, and I was a bit worried going, oh no, this could really affect this weekend. What will happen? And it was the stars aligned. It was beautiful. The trees, though, what was the theme that was coming up is because the snow had hit, heavy snow early in the month, a light snow on Wednesday, the fear was, what happens when I take this thing home and plant it, mainly trees? And so I want you to hold it before I plant it. I don't want to plant it until it's warm enough. Well, we're fine with that. We can hold it for you. No worries. Especially for those that are traveling, they got in-laws coming in or family, kids, just things are happening. Life gets busy. We'll hold it. We've got a sold area that we just corral everything. We protect it and nurture it. But it would be ideal if you could put it in your gardens before they wake up. Let them start to bloom in your yard, in your landscape, in your gardens. That goes for flowering shrubs, flowering trees especially, evergreens. Oh my goodness. They really need to be in the ground before they wake up in your yard. You have less transplant shock. And so I talked three or four people into, no, don't, we'll hold it, but don't wait. Plant it before it wakes up. We're not going to protect it. It's out here in the yard. We don't cover them. It's used to the cold. It's on our cycles, or it's acclimated, is what we call it, acclimated to our climate, our altitude. So it's best for you to take that and plant it and have it wake up and bloom. Your blooms will be longer. The fragrance will be longer. The plant will actually adapt. We'll put on more roots by doing that. Yes, you can wait till it's bloomed out or it's leafed, but it's not ideal. The ideal, what the book says, put it in the ground while it's still asleep. And so things are waking up fast, though. So I would say that for right now, you're in the planting season. Fertilize, get done with pruning, and then start planting. Don't wait to plant, especially the big things, a big pine tree or a big spruce, a big fir, a big fruit tree or flowering tree or shade tree. If you wanted a new aspen or maple, you wanted to shade that south side this summer, boy, it would just absolutely be ideal to put it in now, let it wake up, and you'll get more growth. You'll get more shade by planting early than later. That was just a theme. It came over and over and over. People didn't know what to do with that cold night. They just know, well, we know it's going to frost some more. The weather looks pretty nice for the next bit. There's some rain coming through, but it's pretty nice. If we do get any kind of real cold, it's just a frost. That bitter, killing cold, that's really January and February. We're over with the bitter cold. If we can have light frost coming through, you need plants that like that. There's a whole series of spring plants that thrive in that type of environment. We got a lot in store for you this show. I've got Lisa Watersling coming in with your garden questions right after this.
You've been listening to The Mountain Gardener with Ken Lane, owner of Waters Garden Center in Prescott. Join him every week for timely garden advice right for the gardens. Visit Ken where he can be found throughout the week at Waters Garden Center in Prescott.
Hi, Waters with this week's Plant of the Week and our Flirty Skirt Pansies.
No more shy pansies, these blooms beam back at you.
Frilly, cheery, flirty flowers resemble Marilyn Monroe's rippled skirt blowing in a breeze.
She enjoys growing in her inclement weather in a carnival of colors priced at just $7.99, so you can enjoy more than just one.
Waters Garden Center, 1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott, where people who love flirty flowers, they love to shop.
Oh no, my pine trees look terrible.
Never fear, Plant Protector is here.
Plant Protector? From Waters Garden Center?
My Super Strength Protector destroys pine scale, bark beetle, and aphids. Just water into the soil and your trees are protected from the inside out for the year.
Thank you, Plant Protector.
You can always find Plant Protector at Waters Garden Center, 1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott.
You've been listening to Ken Lane, the Mountain Gardener. Green thumbs learned while working in the Family Garden Center. Now welcome back to the Mountain Gardener.
And we are back with Lisa Watersling in the studio. She comes each week with your garden questions. And so, Lisa, you look pretty good. I'm going to tell you.
I know, my voice is gone.
Yeah,
you're looking rough.
I think I lost some hair. Clothes are dirty. My boots are muddy. My shovel's in a corner. I'm beat unloading trucks and merchandise. Yeah. But it was exciting this weekend.
It was a great weekend.
This week has been, people were just ready to go.
Yeah.
And then it's always fun to hang out with friends. So we brought our growers up last weekend for our spring open house. So they're coming from all over the country, from Utah, California, all over Arizona. They're coming from all over. And so they get to talk to the folks that grew, and they were representing their stuff. Mm-hmm. Really interesting. I had an interaction with a good long customer. He's been retired for probably 20 years. Mm-hmm. He came in. He created one of the chemicals, one of the molecules, an organic in our product. And he's talking to the rep that's now selling that. And they are like talking deep,
eyes glazed over.
And I'm going, yeah, it kills caterpillars. It's really great, isn't it? Hilarious. Anyway, that's unique. Yeah. That's Prescott.
Right.
People are not from here. They're from other places. And they retire here. Yeah. And their stories are so rich and interesting. And I get to hear that. And so when I get bored with producing podcasts and doing marketing and accounting, this week it's accounting, taxes. I go out and talk to customers. It's just fun to hear the stories.
No, it was a great weekend. People were, they were ready to be out and gardening, and they were in a good mood.
They were.
And it was just fun. Lots of hot dogs were consumed.
I know. We couldn't bring Vincent in. He knew it was hot dog day too. So Vincent's our black lab. Mm-hmm. We put a vest on him. It says therapy dog, please pet me. And if you need a hug from a dog, please come visit. Vincent is often here, but you know how black labs are. They are basically stomachs wrapped in fur. And if there's lunch or any kind of food, they're right there. So I'm sure he'd probably offer to grill the hot dog for folks. Just one for you.
One for me.
We had to leave him home or he put on 20 pounds.
Oh, my goodness. No. He can't handle it. It's too much for him.
If you have dogs, we encourage folks to bring their dog. Yeah. This is a great, it's a big open.
Sure.
It's like a botanical garden. We can take a piece of the garden home with you. Mm-hmm. We encourage folks. I mean, keep them on a leash. We use some common social sense. Mm-hmm. And then realize there is a black lab that might come and say hi.
Yes.
Very cordial.
Oh, he's
your
friendly.
Dog is kind of more on the aggressive side. He'll come up and say hi and ignore the barking teeth at his face. He's going, just making sure you're okay. He just roams around.
He's a good boy.
Yeah. So this is about garden questions. Are there any this week? Or people all, they're all, no questions, are all in the gardens?
Nope, they're out. We do have some questions. First one is from Cindy. She goes, my Fitinia really suffered this winter.
Oh, yeah.
There are yellow, there's bare branches, there's broken branches. Yeah. So her question is, what can she do to whip those puppies back into shape?
Yeah, we should, so... I had a customer yesterday that had the same thing, his pear tree, not just from winter, but his pears last year loaded up with so many pears, they the branches fell down. And so he thinned the pears, but now the branches are stuck that way. It's kind of a similar kind of question. Mm-hmm. What to do? Trim it, clean it up. What I told him is take those bent branches from the Fitinia, the snow, or from the pear tree, the fruit. Trim it back. It should be reaching towards the sky, not the ground. Mm-hmm. And so prune it back so that those branches are pointing upwards. And take it back to a bud, a leaf bud. You'll be able to see those pretty strong. Take it back to a bud in the direction those buds grow. They'll grow in the direction of that bud growth. Mm-hmm. Take it back to where it's pointing. That bud is pointing in the direction you want it to grow. You can totally control the shape of a plant simply by that technique. So for the pear tree, don't let it hang down to the ground. For a broken branch, prune it all the way back past the broken or bent branch and prune it back to a bud which is growing in the direction that you want. Now, she's probably in a home that she bought mm-hmm. from someone else, an older person. They couldn't get out there to take care of it for a while. And now it's thin and wispy and yellow. And a Fitinia this time of year, they're starting to show new growth. Beautiful new red foliage. It should be a rock star in the garden right now. If it's thin and wispy, that's not a rock star. That's either you got to turn it around and rip it out of the ground, or here's what to do. Sprinkle all-purpose plant food, 744 fertilizer, around that plant. In addition, for her specifically, for things that look a little off, also in addition to the all-purpose plant food, add soil sulfur is normally what we say. That's in our handout. For her, if you could take a picture, I could really hone it in here and really help you. I almost, for her, would lean towards humic. There's a organic humic acid. It actually will raise the pH, make it more acidic, help the plant regrow some roots. It's got some stress. We need more roots underneath it. And so that between the food and the humic acid, a stimulator, soil activator, kind of, there were some names for it. Those two things are really bring out the new growth. If by the end of May, those two things, adding those two additives, they're both granular, sprinkle all-purpose food, humic, around the plant. If by the end of May, it still looks thin and wispy and off, it deserves a bumper and a chain and a little bit of horsepower. Just rip it right out of the ground because I don't think it'll recover. It's gotten so stressed that it won't come back for you, or it would take so many years. You know, for $30, you can have a brand new one that looks. We have new strains of Fitinia that are coming in that are even, they keep their color better, they don't get mildew, better reds. So you can, for $30, you can have a new one instead of struggling with this old one. But that's the approach I would take.
I agree. But yeah, I walk around the neighborhood. Boy, there's some ugly Fitinia. Yeah,
they weren't fertilized last fall. Yeah. You really see it play out mm-hmm. in the spring. The most important feeding of the year is in the fall because mm-hmm. of that. And the second most important feeding of the year, I can't emphasize that enough, is in the spring.
Sure.
So put it on, watch it grow.
Yeah. Our next question is from Pete. They've moved into a home, existing home, but new home for them. They want to pull, they have a sloping part of their yard that has rock on it right now. They want to pull the rock off. Bless their hearts. They want to put either like a meadow mix or a native type grass mix on there. They want to know what you would recommend or even if that's something they can do. And when would you do it?
Yeah, you do it right now. So really, I mean, immediately. I mean, I would do it by middle of April if you could. So get to tackling those rocks, get them off. Now, the seed, we've got two mixes here that are native mixes. We've created one years ago, probably 20, 30 years ago, called Waters Native Mix. It's tall grass, it's short grass. It's what you see when you're driving by the highway down the road. It's that mix. No weeds, just grasses. Usually we do that because you've got some big wheatgrass as some more established things. We also made a meadow mix. A lot of folks want some flowers in that mix. And the regular waters mix, the old-fashioned mix, that one, the tall grasses tend to shade out a lot of the flowers. Mm. And so we just cut out all the tall grasses, put short grasses, and then put some flowers in there. Mm-hmm. And they're all native. They're all for here. Usually, here's the challenge you're going to find. They make something called jute netting, J-U-T-E, jute netting. You can get it in any plumbing, probably like a irrigation store, like a Ewing, a Pro Water Irrigation. Those places, they'll have jute netting. You run it across the hillside, mm-hmm. and then you sprinkle your seed on top of that, and it keeps the seed in place. It doesn't allow it to float down the hill. And so that'll be critical for a real steep hill. If it's a shallow hill, I don't think it matters so much. For a steep hill, that's kind of our trick. And then once the grass is actually established, I mean, is rooted, which will happen within days, you'll see this thing start coming up. I think that then you're ready to go. Once they're established, you don't have to water it. If you do need to water it just to keep it green, then you can put a drip system and water it once, you know, a couple mm-hmm. times a month. It keeps it looking like a rock star. But that's kind of how I'd go after native grasses. Mm-hmm. Those, we have both mixes mm-hmm. and more. We've got a fancy poppy mix we made mm-hmm. that's orange. It's not just orange. It's a bunch of colors. It's like what you're seeing grow out in the wild right now, blooming. You could plant that as well. Put some of those on it. Ken and Lisa Lane and the Mountain Gardeners will be right back with more right after this.
You're listening to Ken Lane, a.k.a. the Mountain Gardener. Ken can be found throughout the week in Prescott at Waters Garden Center. Listen each week as he answers timely garden questions unique to mountain gardens. Plants are a lot like puppies. They need care, water, and food.
You wouldn't forget to feed your puppies, so don't forget to feed your plants.
Waters 744 All-Purpose Plant Food is a gourmet meal for your plants.
The only food for Arizona plants for the nutrients they need for big blooms, a hefty harvest, and tremendous trees, all naturally.
It's time to feed your plants with 744 All-Purpose Plant Food from Waters Garden Center in Prescott.
Let's talk poop.
Hey, I'm Tommy at Waters Garden Center. Ken and Lisa are out right now, so I snuck in to remind you that it's time to add some manure to your garden.
It's been a wet winter, and your soil is, well, pooped. Waters Barnyard Manure adds nutrients to get your garden growing. It's organic and odorless, so we really can say our poop don't stink. Buy 6 bags or more. They're only $5.99. Now that's a load of crap.
Tommy, what's going on?
Oh, poop, gotta go. Natural, safe, odorless, and organic at Waters Garden Center.
You've been listening to The Mountain Gardener with local expert Ken Lane. Join the conversation every week as he answers timely garden questions. Email Ken a question directly from your phone to his desktop through the web at watersgardencenter.com. That's Waters with two T's, gardencenter.com. Now welcome back your host, Ken Lane.
For you poor folks that have juniper allergies, I mean, a lot of folks come in going, I don't want a juniper in my backyard. Oh, I have allergies. It doesn't matter. Your backyard, an ornamental juniper planted in your backyard, really we've bred all the pollen out of those, so we have a sterile variety. But you're surrounded by forest of junipers. And in my backyard, on Tuesday, the tree had exploded. I literally thought my neighbor's house was on fire. I'm going, where's that smoke coming from? What the heck is going on? I'm going to go rescue Marty out of her house. I'm going to go help her. Oh my gosh, call 911. And then I looked at it and went, that's coming from the tree. Oh my gosh. This is a alligator bark juniper in the backyard. It is majestic. It is beautiful. I've trimmed it up. I've got art underneath it. There's uplighting and downlighting and there's underplanting. It is magnificent. I never care for this tree. It's all on its own, but it's a big old male juniper tree. Your shaggy bark junipers are the same way. There's alligator bark and shaggy bark. Those are the native ones you grow. You see throughout all elevations of northern Arizona. This thing was just going wild. It is happy. He thinks he's going to pollinate every female on this side of the mountain. He's just putting up pollen everywhere. And so only the males produce pollen. Females do not. You know, all the females will form berries, and the males don't. So the right now the males are just solid yellow. Oh my goodness. And depending on what elevation and what exposure to the hill, north, south, east, west, mine's in north facing, but it's in full sun. It's gathering. It's right there in the sun. It's very happy. And so it has taken advantage of all the snow, all the fertilization I've had. It's just really happy and it's beautiful. But I took a camera out and I just captured it on film. And so I went, wow, we've got to see if we can show people what this is. And so there was a little bit of wind, but it wouldn't quite give me the show I wanted. So I captured on film and I went, this is an experiment, folks. Let's see what will happen. And I took my English shovel, so, a short-handled, D-handled shovel, chrome-plated, stainless steel. It's nice. And I just threw it way up into the tree and it bounced across all the branches and the thing just lit up. I posted that to our YouTube channel, our Facebook page, shared it on my personal page. It's pretty impressive. All in about less than 90 seconds. I mean, it's like a minute long and it's impressive. Even my voice, a little scratchy. So I don't sleep with the windows open right now. It's closed. The windows in the car, I try to keep the top up right now, not down, because I have such juniper allergies. It's just part of it. I have Sudafed and stuff, and I get through, and it's a couple weeks of inconvenience, but I'm okay. You can't run away from this. The pollen is just floating across entire valleys. That's how these junipers work. And then right after that, the pine trees go to town. And so take a look at that. If you want to see what that's all about, see. If you're not sure, if you're not in the thick of this wildland interface like I am, I've got wild junipers just growing there, wild ceanothus, wild oaks. I'm right in that zone, which I love because it grows some nice plants, manzanitas and all these other great plants. But the negative, I get some of this pollen. It's short-lived. After it's done doing its pollen thing, it will now shoot off new growth and it won't have that allergy effect. It's just it's the pollen that causes the allergies, not the foliage of these plants. But they're so robust. They've just got this beautiful blue green that Arizona's, famous for. My ceanothus, they came into bloom, this little head high shrub, nice evergreen, blue little leaves, great white flowers. I never care for this thing. It just grows and grows, and I nurture it, take care of it, and I incorporate that into my landscape in the backyard. I run the drip system right by those plants. I don't actually water them. So I'm going to the ornamental junipers that I put in there, the ornamental chitalpas or desert willows or bear grass, some things that I've planted. I take care of those and water them. And we've introduced, we just had another native show up. It's a red Gallardia. It is so pretty. Gallardias, typically you'll see that in the wildflower bloom of Arizona, but they always are orange or yellow. Yeah, they're nice and they're bright. They've got an Arizona, Route 66 Gallardia, but to see red, you never see red Gallardia. We've got this and it reseeds and comes back. And again, once you get it established, it'll go by itself. It's so easy to grow. We've just introduced with this spring open house we had this last week, we introduced a whole series of native blooming plants that really don't have allergy effects. They're just good for the flowers, good for the seed, for pollination, good for hummingbirds. We unloaded a new crop of autumn sage, bright red. The hummingbirds were literally following us down from the loading dock, down into the greenhouse, because they're so mesmerized by this early spring bloomer. You can plant those now. They'll thrive and they'll just grow and get fuller and better. And then they've got a lot of positive traits. All these new plants are introduced this weekend and they continue throughout the spring season, at least here at Waters Garden Center. Be right back with Lisa Waters Lane after this.
The Mountain Gardener, your source for timely garden advice right for higher elevations. Guaranteed to make a difference in your yard this season. Plants are a lot like puppies. They need care, water, and food.
You wouldn't forget to feed your puppies, so don't forget to feed your plants.
Water 744 All-Purpose Plant Food is a gourmet meal for your plants.
The only food for Arizona plants for the nutrients they need for big blooms, a hefty harvest, and tremendous trees all naturally.
It's time to feed your plants with 744 All-Purpose Plant Food from Waters Garden Center in Prescott.
In a new place, it's difficult to know who to trust, how to get help at the house, and which nursery will simply do what they say they'll do.
At Waters Garden Center, we're here to help, in the landscape at least.
Our team of plant ambassadors know your neighborhood, the plants that add color, increase privacy, and add fragrance and beauty.
And we can show you exactly how to plant locally, or we have teams to do all the work for you.
We are Ken and Lisa Lane, and we guarantee our plants will live up to every promise here at Waters Garden Center.
You're listening to The Mountain Gardener with local expert Ken Lane. Mountain gardening is very rewarding, with a few of Ken's tips, tricks, and garden shortcuts sure to turn your thumbs even greener. Now welcome back to The Mountain Gardener.
We are back with Lisa Waters Lane in the studio. She comes each week, and this segment's just for her to get her perspective on local mountain gardens, just what she's seen in her own gardens at the garden center, talking to customers. And so I think this is probably one of the most popular segments of the show every week. We've been doing this for how many years we've been doing this? Three, four, five? I mean, it's so many I've lost
Long
track.
Time. That is true.
Yeah.
Been a while.
So what do you got for us this week? What kind of, it's mesmerize us with garden, garden talk.
No
talk Latin
pressure.
With us.
So this week, we were very, very fortunate to find a grower of manzanita. And manzanita is one of those things everybody wants to have some in their yard. But boy, it's a challenge to find because growers don't like to grow it, quite honestly.
Yeah, the loss rate's pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then many folks, like we've had some growers, and they go and they'll harvest the pups, pot them up. And then those don't transplant. I mean, to the plant they die. And so we've had to fire some growers because they didn't live up to what their hype was. And so it's hard to find one that actually transplants and the plant holds up. The genetics are right.
Right. Mm-hmm. So these guys, they've been working at it for a while.
Yeah.
You know, trying to get the right soil mix to grow in, the right conditions, the right varieties. And we were fortunate to be able to get a good supply of them in for this year. Now, these are not your true native, like you're going to find out in the forest, but they're going to be great for your yard. So I thought I would kind of share those three different varieties and let people know about those because it is kind of unique to be able to get them.
I thought they were the same variety.
A little bit different.
So it's a Western native. It's a variety from the West because I know they were coming, pulling out of the high elevations of Colorado, Utah, New Mexico. So they were harvesting certain, they're probably going after certain genetics, certain traits.
They are.
And then introducing that. And so they're picking the best of the West.
And they're still, so quite honestly, because I've talked to the guy quite a bit, they're trying to get the native one for here to get going. But like I said, it's not easy. Everybody goes, well, I see manzanitas everywhere.
Yeah, I know. Certain crops are not, it's either too slow, so it's not profitable. The loss rate, the mix is wrong, so it doesn't adapt to their soil mixes, so they rot out.
Right.
Or they don't transplant. You can't ship them from the farm to the the retailers and show them off, or they break or do have some issues. So these three, I was selling them like they were natives.
Yeah.
I'll change my tune.
Well, I mean, they're really close to it. They're just not like the one you're going to, they don't get as tall, I'll put
that's
it that
good.
Way. Not
I'm
as
okay
tall as the ones that you're going to find out.
Some of the native ones are too tall. I mean, who needs a 10-foot manzanita? Good night.
But the great thing about them is they have all the things that we like. So they have that reddish bark to them that everybody loves. The pink blossoms in the spring, they produce the berries. It's a great plant if you want to bring wild birds into your yard.
Yeah.
Great for that.
Don't put them on your drip system. I don't care what variety. Do not put a manzanita on your drip system. Water it by hand, get it established, and then just let it go.
Yeah.
Because it's that tough. And that comes from experience. We have killed 5 manzanitas in our backyard. I'm going to try a new one. I saw one out there that I really want to try. It's just really exciting. I'm going to put one in and I'm not even, I think I overwatered with our heavy clay soil.
Yeah.
I think that'll be the game changer for manzanita.
And that's one of the things he recommended because I was asking, you know, how am I going to help my customers plant these and be successful? Because that's what we want. We want them to be successful. And his big thing was well-drained soil. Well-drained soil.
No doubt.
So if you know you have clayish or heavy soil, you definitely want to amend. He also recommended, and I think it's a good idea, throw a little bit of sand in that hole too. Now, we always recommend mulch, but that sand is just going to help a little bit as well. Because you definitely want to drain anything on a hillside that's going to drain better. They're going to be really happy there. So it is something you're going to want to think about how you plant it and where you plant it.
So what kind of varieties do we get in? What's share the magic. Why are these so great?
Okay.
Better than, let's say, Kinnikinnick or some of these other varieties, or let's say Russian sage, or why would you want this evergreen native plant?
So the first, the biggest one that we got in is called Chieftain. So it has a nice, really pretty round leaf to it, bigger leaf than the standard. Yeah. But the Chieftain's going to get 3-4 feet approximately. The nice thing about Chieftain too is it's got a little more of a trunk. It's going to have more of a trunk to it, I guess you should say. Yeah. So you'll see a lot more of that reddish bark coming out.
I noticed that a bigger leaf, and it is the reddest of the varieties.
Right.
The bark is bright red. I mean, it's manzanita red. It's what you want to see.
Manzanita red. Is that a new color?
It is. Yeah. If not, it will be as soon as I finish online posting that Facebook post.
Yeah. So 3 to 4 feet tall. It's also going to be probably about 4 or 5 feet wide. So it's a nice one to fill in. It's going to look really pretty. If you've got some native oaks, if you've got ponderosas, things like that in your yard, it would be a really nice addition.
If you got nothing but rock, it would be a great addition to soften up all that lunar landscape, kind of soften up the edges. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The other one we got in is called Panchito.
Panchito.
Panchito grows about 2 to 3 foot tall. So just a hair a bit shorter, a little bit wider. It's going to get more in that easily five feet area.
Like a border.
The thing about Panchito, the leaf is a little, it's more narrow, more similar to the native one. But it's going to be one here. He recommended a little bit of afternoon shade, so maybe where it's getting filtered light through your trees, maybe an east side of the house, just something. It'll probably be fine, but get it started, just a little bit more shade.
I'm going to add that to our test garden at home, the one in full sun, that side bed. I'm going to put it right out there and see what it does. We'll test that to this altitude.
Right.
We're at 5,700 feet. We'll know by June how well it does.
That's true.
So it'll be because it's a hot thing. I don't like to test limits of plants.
No, I think it's great to test them. That way we can help our customers.
Give me a freebie, will you? I'm throwing in the next truckload.
Okay. That'd be good. I'll work on that. The other one that we got in is, you mentioned the mock or the bearberry or the Kinnikinnick. It's a variety of that. So it is a lower ground cover one, but you'll find the leaf on it is bigger than the regular Kinnikinnick that you see out there. So it's still low growing.
So ankle high, what does it say were the specs?
About like a foot.
A foot tall. So the Kinnikinnick's really 6 inches or less, real small. Almost too small. It doesn't make enough of a statement.
Right.
So to have a little bit bigger leaf and a little bit taller, I think, to spread along the driveway or down a hillside, that would be actually ideal.
Yeah.
I think that'd be a better variety. And if it's got a bigger leaf, it probably means it spreads a little bit more aggressively. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that Kinnikinnick is another variety of ground cover manzanita. Mm-hmm. It grows too slow. I want it to grow fast. I want instant. Give me instant.
Of course
you do. Give me bigger. I am American. 40 cents and I'll upsize.
There you go. Give me the big one. Mm-hmm. But it is really pretty. And the bark on it, I think you see more of the bark on it than you do on the regular Kinnikinnick.
So give us the three names. You've got Chieftain, Panchito, and
the other one is a mock. They call it Mockberry.
Mockberry.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like a very good name.
I know.
Mockberry. Come on. Mockingjays go out. What is that?
I didn't pick the names. Huh. They did.
We could help them.
I know. but they'll be blooming pretty soon, most of them. And I just love them when they bloom. So pretty, real pretty kind of pink, delicate flowers on them.
It's a pollinator. Mm-hmm. You know, so the hummingbirds and the butterflies come and use it, bees use it as a pollinator.
Right.
So especially during the migration zone. So it's got just the classic red.
Yeah.
So, and it's evergreen.
Evergreen.
So if your yard looks a little bare.
Ugly.
I know. Yep. Ugly. Okay, let's face it. Sometimes you can add, if you don't probably have enough evergreen in there. Mm-hmm. So 20% of your landscape should be evergreens. Mm-hmm. So it anchors that down. And all of these varieties are from high altitude.
Right.
They'll all adapt well to no matter the winter. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they'll go down to 30, 40, minus 40 degrees and just come through like a champ.
Right.
Through our winters, mm-hmm. no matter the elevation throughout northern Arizona. And we're the only ones that have it. We said, Kurt, we'll be your exclusive. So we had 150 of these show up, and then we can get more, so the mm-hmm. trucks are rolling. So you'll find them at Waters Garden Center, three different varieties of manzanita. So and more. There's a lot of blooming. I noticed the lilacs are starting to bloom. Forsythia in full bloom. Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on in the nursery. Thank you, Lisa. Ken and Lisa Lane and the Mountain Gardeners, be right back.
Look for more tips, tricks, and garden shortcuts through Ken's website, podcast the show, read his weekly garden column, or follow him on Facebook and Instagram at watersgardencenter.com. That's Waters with two T's, gardencenter.com.
Hi, Waters with this week's Plant of the Week and our Flirty Skirt Pansies.
No more shy pansies, these blooms beam back at you.
Frilly, cheery, flirty flowers resemble Marilyn Monroe's rippled skirt blowing in a breeze.
She enjoys growing in her inclement weather in a carnival of colors priced at just $7.99, so you can enjoy more than just one.
Waters Garden Center, 1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott, where people who love flirty flowers, they love to shop.
Wondering why my garden looks amazing? Well, that's personal. The personal garden shopper service at Waters Garden Center, that is. Before talking with my personal shopper, I had no idea which plants would be best for me. But now my garden is bursting with flowers and buzzing with hummingbirds. Just go to watersgardencenter.com, click on Shop, and choose Personal Garden Shopper. A Waters Garden expert will pick the perfect plants for you, personally. The Personal Garden Shopper, only at Waters Garden Center in Prescott.
Welcome to the Mountain Gardener with Ken Lane. Gardening in the mountains is different. Listen to Ken's tips, tricks, and garden shortcuts guaranteed to make your gardens more beautiful than ever this year. Now for better advice that works locally, welcome your host, Ken Lane.
And welcome back to The Mountain Gardener. This is your host, Ken Lane. And I've got a special guest in the studio, Johnny Schaefer with Johnny's Tree and Landscape Service. He is one of the foremost tree experts within Yavapai County. Did I get that? Just Yavapai County, or you got more than that?
We're pretty much sticking to Yavapai.
Yeah, so
all Quad City. Yeah, Chino, gotcha. Dewey, Prescott Valley. We go as far as Mayor, just people who want our services.
Verde, Sedona, Camp Verde, those areas?
We're trying to stay away from those right now.
All
but
right.
Quad City, all of our clients are primarily in the Quad City
Skull area. Valley, Kirkland,
yes.
Williamson Valley?
Yes, we do Kirkland. We do People's Valley. We do, yes. We're definitely in those areas there. There are clients who have heard about us over there, and we are definitely traveling there.
Okay, so all I know is Johnny's Tree and Landscape Service. I want to make sure I get that name right.
Johnny's Tree and Landscaping Company, yes.
Company, I'm sorry. Yeah, I apologize. I blew it again. Anyway, Johnny Schaefer, how I think of it. It's Johnny's company. Anyway, he's got beautiful equipment, but mainly he's my go-to guy when I want big tree jobs, any kind of tree cleanup, fruit trees. You've done some massive jobs for me over the years. You just know how to do the tree right. You're not going to take shortcuts, and it looks butchered. Once you butcher a tree, it just never recovers. And so you've got that expertise. That's what I appreciate about you.
Well, thank you, Ken. Thank you very much.
Now, you came to me going, Ken, we've got an issue. Can you help me get the word out? So you came going, give me some airtime, going, sure, that's great. I love hearing the experts in the field, guys in the know, boots in the trenches, what's really going on out in the community. And you say, Leland Cypress has got a new canker. What share what you wanted? What was that out there? Because we are seeing a lot of these big Leland Cypress collapse, absolutely die. The entire row going down on us. Why?
Foremost, it's been here for a while. Ceridium canker was discovered a little over a decade ago in the Prescott area. We have seen massive mortality rates over the course of the past few years, mainly because of the heat and the drought. As certified arborists, we are privy to a lot of firsthand information. So when we're on job sites, myself as a certified arborist who employs certified arborists, our job is to inform our clients as to what is going around as far as diseases. The first, foremost and most popular one these days is going to be your Leyland cypresses, those big, tall, green, beautiful, bushy trees until they're not. They are very commonly planted for privacy hedges, windrows, between your neighbors, and then we are called out as certified arborists for consultations and with some bad news for our clients. They are all susceptible to a fungal infection called Ceridium canker. It is a fungal disease that is translocated through the whole system. We don't quite know how it gets into the trees, insects. Primarily, we're going with spores on this and insects just because those are the vectors of these bacterials and fungals. Once these trees get Ceridium canker, you will start seeing a pitch start to come out of the main trunk of the tree. And after that, you'll start seeing what's called flagging. Certain limbs will start to die off. Primarily, your central lead in the top will die and wilt. And that is because it can't translocate nutrients and water through the xylem no more. Our first and very important that when you start seeing this, please do not try to save it. Do not try to prune out dead limbs and move to the next one and think that you're not going to infect the next one and anything else you touch with that saw blade. It is very transferable. So we recommend, for my primary purpose, remove the tree. Why, you ask? That fungal disease is now translocated to Italian cypress. It has been found to be the same spore. So if you do not want this disease to translocate from one tree to another, it finds a way. We need to get the Leyland cypresses out when they become diseased. It is paramount. Time is of the essence.
So now, Leyland cypress, we've been selling these for decades and decades. Yes. It was a primary go-to privacy windbreak screen. We no longer sell them here at Waters Garden Center, at least. I know they're still sold in nurseries, which is an injustice, I think. But
yes,
it looks like we're going to lose all of the Leyland cypress in the county, if not in the state. It's becoming that prevalent. We didn't think it was that bad. We thought it was a health issue, drought, and all of a sudden it's expanded on us. What's your gut feel on this? Do you think possibly the drought is over and the moisture we've had, if they fertilize and care for their Leyland hedgerow, that maybe this it would stop it? Or do you see it continuing? What's your experience out in the field? What are you seeing?
Yeah, the only real way to make a tree last longer, these Leyland cypress with the Ceridium, yes, water is a way to make it last longer. Through all the research, through the universities, many different people have been working trying to develop a cure. It has not been found. Certified arborists, we have to go to conferences with people who have been looking for this. No, they have not found it yet. Watering is one way to make them live longer. If that's not working, it could be your bad soil conditions. If you're not fertilizing, anything you do to baby a sick plant, yes, that plant can live longer. From my research and just being in the field and seeing it, though, it's throwing good money after bad. It is time to plant a new tree. You want to pick up a new tree and start that thing growing now. Don't wait until the whole hedgerow is down. Yeah. You know, get that new tree in now.
Yeah, I would say we're right now we're crossing over, folks, to the Arizona cypress, which is a native.
Yes.
It's same as the Leyland, but it's blue instead of green. Mm. If they really want green, I mean, they just have to have green hedgerows, not, you know, this Arizona cypress, probably a 20-foot by 12-foot wide, thick, I mean, privacy windbreak.
Yes.
It's very blue, Arizona blue.
Yep.
They just really want green, the same thing. We're shifting them over to junipers.
Yes.
The Wichitas, Spartans, Hollywoods, a whole series of very hardy junipers that do the same thing, and they don't get this canker that seems to be taking out the Leylands. We've not seen the Italians so much. That's Californians love that.
Yeah.
Italian, that's like it's kind of like a light pole, only
yeah.
It goes to the moon and only gets 3 foot wide, that kind of thing.
Not very common tree.
It's a Mediterranean looking yes. thing, but some people like that very formal, going up and down the. We haven't seen a lot of that, but that's the first time I've heard that. That's interesting that it's starting to transfer over.
Very new findings.
I can't emphasize enough for folks, if you're trying to clean this tree up yourself, I've been helping my entire neighbors up and down my street. It's on every tree. All yes. the Leylands in the Eagle Ridge area, kind of that whole Prescott Lakes area, they are all infected.
Yes.
If you try to make a cut with a pruner or a saw, and then you go and cut a healthy tree, you with the same saw blade, right after cutting infected, you're going to take that spore and instantly transfer it over to the next healthy tree. And within, how long do they live with this canker? Can you get them to, what's the longest you've seen? Two, three, 4 years?
Once they get it. Yeah,
they're going to collapse. I mean, it's not very long, really.
Very, very. You're talking about a few years, depending on the vigor of the tree, the soil, water conditions. The heat really devastates them very fast.
Yeah.
On average, it's very rare to see a Leyland cypress live past 17 years. If you baby it, you can get some little bit more time out of it. But even at 17, that's an old Leyland.
That's without canker.
Exactly.
With canker. We're talking
yeah.
a few seasons and you're done.
Exactly. It's not something that moves very slow. Once it hits, it's very fast.
Yeah. My neighbor right next to me, she's using it as a privacy screen. I got my hot tub on this side. She's got her bedroom on that side. We both enjoy this screening. She got it maybe 3 years ago. And she did just, she's been thinning. And she finally cut down one of the trees. And it looks like it's going to spread right down there. There's three big giant ones. They're ancient. I mean, 15 years old. They're big.
Yeah.
And they got this canker maybe 3 years ago and they just collapsed. So you really do want to plant. Be ready. Know that you're going to have to cut it down. Put something so it's time to fill in. With that, thank you, Johnny, for being here. Tell them how they can get a hold of you. Tell them websites. Get anything you want. The next 30 seconds, completely yours. Advertise all you want. How do they give them your cell number? Whatever you got. Sorry.
If you want to get a hold of Johnny's Tree Landscaping Company in Prescott, we are located at 1038 Commerce Drive in Prescott. That is right down beside the Findlay Toyota dealer down there. You can also find us on the web at johnnystreeandlandscaping.com, or you can call us at 928-830-4977 to set up a consultation or a free estimate.
I can say, Johnny, just to again reiterate, you all are certified. A lot of folks say they're a certified arborist, and they aren't. You guys, I mean, I've actually looked. You got the contractor license, the certification. You actually know stuff. Plus, I see your work and I go, that's a professional job. That's a key. So well done. Keep up the good work. Johnny's Tree and Landscape Serve Company. They are not a fly-by-night. They're local. It's been here for a long time. Thank you for coming in and sharing that with us.
Thank you very much, Ken.
Be right back with more on The Mountain Gardeners.
You're listening to local garden expert Ken Lane, the owner of Waters Garden Center. He can be found throughout the week at Waters Garden Center, located in Prescott, 1815 Iron Springs Road. Thanks for tuning in to The Mountain Gardener.
Growing up in Prescott, we knew spring was here when my grandmother's lilacs bloomed. I'm Lisa Waters Lane, and my grandmother would be thrilled with the new Bloomerang Purple Lilacs at Waters Garden Center. They don't just bloom once in spring, they bloom again in summer. Mine bloomed 3 times last year, making spring last well into fall, and just $29.99. Come check out all the heavenly new sights and scents that are making this spring the most beautiful ever. Lilacs like Grandma used to grow, and better. Waters Garden Center in Prescott.
I remember as though it was yesterday. Should we be open Sundays or not? The revolution came after church social. After the fellowship, a friend was heading to the box store to get some plants because Waters wasn't open. Sunday was his only day to garden that week, just like it was yesterday. Waters Garden Center. It's open on Sunday from 9 to 5, with plant experts ready to advise on any subject. My name is Ken Lane, owner of Waters Garden Center, 1815 Iron Springs Road, here in Prescott.
You've tuned in to The Mountain Gardener with local garden expert Ken Lane. Join him each week as he answers timely garden questions that are sure to make a difference in your gardens. Now welcome your host, Ken Lane.
Is there really a difference? I mean, come on. A plant is a plant is a plant, right? What's the real difference between a box store and a warehouse and a hardware store and a grocery store and a garden center? Well, let me just answer that for you. Yes, there's a difference. And let me just explain how that happens. Now, there are national companies that's all they do is mass produce the top 10 plants that everyone wants. And it's just the cheapest, fastest way to get it through the greenhouse and out the system and into a warehouse, into a box store. There's some of those. Okay. We carry some of those. We don't carry that exact one. If I can't sit down and eat dinner with the owner of the company, I'm not going to do business with them. I support small business. That's one of our core values. That's what we do. We support farmers markets and backyard growers and employee owned. So we've got a great employee owned that grows all of our organic herbs and vegetables, all non-GMO, and they focus on that. That's their passion. So we support that because I can sit down with the lead owner that happens to be employee owned. I can sit down and have lunch, dinner with them. We can talk, I can pick up the phone and call them. I can't do that with Monsanto or Scotts or these huge companies. I can't do that. And so that's just our values. And so the beauty with that, though, is you get to talk to you folks that have a passion. So I've got a Sester Farms. He grows conifers, evergreens, up in Oregon. He delivered this week. He brought in the most beautiful dwarf spruce. This thing is so funky. You won't find it anywhere. This is his passion. It probably took him 15 years to grow this little 4 or 5 foot spruce, but it's tight. It's full. It'll never outgrow its space. It's related to a Colorado spruce, but smaller for small yards. A mass produced guy, he's not going to hang on to a tree for 15 years. That's not his passion is profit. This guy, he has it. He goes, I've got an extra 100 acres. I've got time. And so he grew this, and Lisa and I fly up, and the owner drives us around and shows us his passion. And we go, God, Ted, that's beautiful. We'll take 10 of those. They're just, I can't believe you grew this. Wow. My customers are going to be so excited. We grow for the spring open house, a new pansy, a wave pansy. It's never been seen before. We grew it in a larger size pot. So it's in a 14 inch instead of the typical 8 or 10 inch. It's got 3 times the soil volume. And I had a friend of mine grow it. His passion is hanging baskets. He just loves passion. He goes, Ken, if we take this special basket, we put this kind of soil in, we do these plugs, we flush this out for you, we can have it ready for your spring open house. Oh, I can really up your game. And so he gets all passionate about it. I'm going, Chris, that's great. Let's do that. I'll take 150 of them. And then when they're gone, they're just gone. There's no more. This is a very limited crop. Whereas your mass-produced things, your red-tipped photinia from a mass box, is basically a couple twigs in a bucket, and it's got some foliage. It's cheap, but it's not full, and it's not lush, and it hasn't been grown with heart. And that's the difference between your specialized. I think you've got local hardware stores. Their passion is hardware, and they just love helping people find nuts and bolts and change out light and get fixtures and change your plumbing. They've got experts that sit in the aisle and help you with that. And you all know in your town who that is. And so in your town probably is a garden center that's just their passion. They live, they talk at Thanksgiving dinner, at Easter, they get to get together and go to church and come back and talk plants. They walk up and down neighborhoods and go, wow, look at that. And they take pictures and they post them on their Instagram and their Facebook, and they just want to share their garden knowledge. And there is a difference. I can't emphasize that enough. And then also, might I just say, support your small folks, those folks that are a part of the neighborhood, their passions are plumbing or lighting or garden centers or whatever, support them. Because they care, and they're going to make sure that you are more successful with that home project. Wow, how I got on that, I don't know. But Ken and Lisa Lane and the Mountain Gardeners, throughout the week, we hang out here at Waters Garden Center, and we love plants, and we love our customers.
I remember as though it was yesterday. Should we be open Sundays or not? The revolution came after church social. After the fellowship, a friend was heading to the box store to get some plants because Waters wasn't open. Sunday was his only day to garden that week, just like it was yesterday. Waters Garden Center. It's open on Sunday from 9 to 5, with plant experts ready to advise on any subject. My name is Ken Lane, owner of Waters Garden Center, 1815 Iron Springs Road, here in Prescott.
Oh no, my pine trees look terrible.
Never fear, Plant Protector is here.
Plant Protector? From Waters Garden Center?
My Super Strength Protector destroys pine scale, bark beetle, and aphids. Just water into the soil and your trees are protected from the inside out for the year.
Thank you, Plant Protector.
You can always find Plant Protector at Waters Garden Center, 1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott.
Hi, Waters with this week's Plant of the Week and our Flirty Skirt Pansies.
No more shy pansies. These blooms beam back at you. Frilly, cheery, flirty flowers resemble Marilyn Monroe's rippled skirt blowing in a breeze.
She enjoys growing in her inclement weather in a carnival of colors priced at just $7.99, so you can enjoy more than just one.
Waters Garden Center, 1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott, where people who love flirty flowers, they love to shop.
If you want a more fruitful garden, increase success in your landscape that just feels better, then tune in every week to The Mountain Gardener. Years of tips, tricks, and garden shortcuts are guaranteed to make your gardens nicer than ever. Listen to this podcast or read Ken's weekly garden column by visiting watersgardencenter.com. That's Waters with two T's, gardencenter.com. Thanks for tuning in.